Walking day by day with the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, we should, through seasons, be picking up, listening, understanding what the Spirit is saying. And I've become aware over the last few months that, yes, indeed, we're going through very dry seasons. We're going through very turbulent seasons. We are hearing the news, and does the news get better? No, it doesn't. It is progressively getting worse. And it will get worse as man's heart becomes harder and colder. And these are the clear signs of God withdrawing his presence on the world. These are clear signs that God is about to do something. When you begin to see a falling away in all standards, and you become aware of love waxing colder in society, in family life, in marriage, in both young and old, these are clear signs of God beginning to withdraw blessing. The Word of God says that he pours rain upon the just and the unjust. And the rain on the unjust is now starting to be withdrawn. Let's make no bones about this. And so we, God's people, are in this transitional change. God has to preserve us in these conditions. I'm reminded of Joseph when bringing in all the harvest into the store, when being released out of prison during that 7 plentiful years, that was the time in which God restored his family and brought his family back. And God used that time in which to bring them back. And during the time of the famine, when they realized his family was running out of food, that was the time when God began to draw them back as a family, in which he did, and so that they could be preserved and kept through that 7 plentiful years of which they were taking in the food for survival. And we note also that God, through Joseph, Abraham and his family and descendants, we notice that God provided a good land for them down in Egypt. A land where they were preserved and kept in that dreadful time of famine. And there is a parallel that we can draw from this, because we now rapidly are moving into a spiritual famine. And there will, of course, be famines as well. We are noting that everything is being shaken now, whether it be from the weather patterns, from the increase of earthquakes, diseases, pestilences. All of these are on the increase. And we're seeing that governments, worlds, are trying to plow money in to try and survive. But eventually it's going to run out. Now, having laid that picture, the Lord gave me this in these conditions that we are in. Occupy until I come. Occupy until I come. And that's what we're calling this morning. Because there's nothing we can do other than occupy and wait on the Lord in these conditions that are getting worse until he comes first for the church. And I'm basing this morning from Luke chapter 19, and I just want to really primarily take verse 13 into account. But we will look at the rest of it. We'll actually take it up from verse 11 of Luke 19, verse 11 onwards. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Now, I just want to stop there. Jesus, we see here, he is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And as he's on his way to Jerusalem, they are thinking that he's going to establish the kingdom, because his followers and the disciples see him as the Messiah, the Lord, the King of Kings, but Israel as a nation doesn't see it. And so Jesus knows that he's on his way to Jerusalem. They are thinking he's setting up the kingdom, but he knows differently. And he's beginning to teach them deeper principles. Why? Because he is going back to the Father. He is going to the cross, but they don't see that yet. And so what he begins to teach his followers and the disciples, occupy until I come. And he begins to give them parables pertaining to the kingdom. They are thinking the kingdom is going to be established, but they're in for a surprise. And then he goes on in verse 12, therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. And then you know the story. We'll actually read it so that we can get a good understanding of what we're going to talk about here. And so he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, master, your mina has turned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept and put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit. You reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me." Again, another profound parable. Occupy until I come. Now, what is this parable telling us? Is this parable telling us that you're going to be given a certain amount of money, and that you are to invest that money, and that money is to gain you interest? You can live from it and you can present and give it back to God. No, it is speaking spiritually, things that pertain to the kingdom. What he is saying here is that Israel, my chosen, is about to reject me, to reject my kingdom. And there it is. They didn't want the servant. They didn't want the master, I should say. And so they saw the master in a different light. Some saw him in mercy and compassion, which he had upon them, and others saw him as austere, hard, taskmaster. Now that is what the devil wants you to see God. He wants you to see him like that, so that your rewards are lost and you are cast out into outer darkness. That is what the powers of darkness want you to see. And unless you occupy until he comes, you are going to be despondent. You are going to question. You are going to question God's love and mercy and grace. And that is exactly what the enemy wants you to do under these conditions that we are living in. That is getting worse. Because outwardly it looks as though our comforts are being taken from us. We are entering into lean times. The time of plentifulness has now come to an end. And so we are now going to have to draw off the reservoir, the store, the word, the seed of the word, faith that has been put into the store over the years, in which at that right time to draw from that. It is the same as the parable of the 10 virgins. The 5 wise draw from those extra vessels of anointing. And we're moving into that, brothers and sisters. How do I know it? Because I know how the powers of darkness try to attack us. And what it's been trying to do to this church. We have some who should be sitting here this morning, but they're not, because they see God as a hard taskmaster. Something within them has listened to the powers of darkness. And they're looking and saying, what is there to be shown? What is there in my life? What is there in the church? What is there that was promised over the years? Nothing. Failing to understand and listen what the Spirit is saying to the church, because only the humble hear that and respond. And so, because the times are getting lean and getting harder, what you see is the anger, bitterness, frustration coming out of man's heart. Because he no longer can have his luxuries. He no longer can be preserved and kept by the state. It's all crumbling. And those very things that he put his trust in, the arm of the flesh, is letting him down. And that is why we're to walk by faith and not by sight. That is why God has been teaching us over the years not to trust in the arm of the flesh, because the arm of the flesh is letting us down. And it will. It's no new revelation. God has been speaking this ever since you got saved. Anything that you put your trust in more than God, it will let you down. Whether it's in your son, your daughter, your marriage, your husband, your job, your home, you yourself, it will let you down. And all of that is crumbling. And Jesus says, occupy until I come. And here is what this parable tells us about. That God has given us eternal life. He's given us the abundant life. He's given us all the promises that are in Christ Jesus. And he says, use it and multiply it. Now, how does multiplication come? It's quite simple. Staying with it. Enduring. Remaining until the end, until he comes. That's how it multiplies. Why? Because many are falling away from the walk. And when you fall away from the walk, you are left with your talent, which you have done nothing with. And God says, what have you done with it? And that's what he will say to many. Many religious people, many who have come into the walk for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives, the wrong understanding, will find themselves left with that one talent, and even that will be taken from them. Can you not see now the deeper meaning that lies behind this? This is all about you entering the kingdom of God. So that those rewards, those talents are there to be used for the future. Everything that you're going through now is stored up for the future, for eternity. And if you can only see it in this life and your trials that is in this life, you have missed it. And you'll never endure in those conditions. And so we see in verse 13, he calls these 10 servants that's delivered to them the 10 minas or rewards. And he says to them, do business till I come. You've been given it. You've been given the gospel message, the kingdom message. Now proclaim it until I come. Be busy about things that pertain to the kingdom. Because he's going to the cross. Because the kingdom is going to be delayed. Because Israel is rejecting their Messiah. Again, I'm reminded of what the apostles asked in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so he's saying again, they're asking this question. When is the kingdom to be restored? He's now risen from the dead. He's soon about to be taken, his ascension into heaven. He's been with them 40 days, teaching them so that their understanding may be enlightened and opened. And he's now to go. And they're now again asking this question. I'm going to raise a question. How much of Christendom today asks that very same question that the apostles here asked? Not many. They're blinded. They have no understanding or very little of what the kingdom of God, its message is and pertains. Why? Because the devil came along and fouled that up by dividing, creating denominations, splitting, wars, divisions, amongst Christendom. He knew exactly what he was doing there because he would attack the revelation and message of the kingdom. And so man, in his religious, unregenerate state, creates and builds his own little kingdom, and it's called denominationalism. And that's what you see. It's man's little kingdom, his pathetic understanding of what he thinks is the kingdom of God. God help us. No, the apostles here still had a revelation, an understanding of God's kingdom. And that is why God was able to bless them. You see? But, he says here now, it isn't for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So the coming of the Lord is in the Father's mind and heart. That is his secret. And man tries to delve in it and find out, and all with his charts and mathematical equations, tries to work out when the Messiah is going to come. It's pathetic. And they can't even see that stares them before their eyes. Why? Because they're blinded by doctrinal demons. Doctrines of demons. But he says, you shall receive power, that dunamis power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he says that power will cause within you, the church, to be a witness. A witness of what? Anglicanism? Methodism? Roman Catholicism? No. Witnesses of the kingdom of God. And therefore he says, occupy until I come with that revelation and that empowerment. That is what the deeper life is about. And so because of the kingdom that's being rejected and was, we have to be preserved, empowered in which to enter it. And that's why the Holy Spirit has come. Do you know the Holy Spirit has come? Not only to glorify Jesus, but the Holy Spirit has come to empower you so that you may enter this kingdom that at the moment has been put to one side through Israel rejecting it. That is why you are empowered. Otherwise, if you are not empowered and sealed by the Holy Spirit, no one will enter this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Because that is the only way you can enter it, is through being sealed and empowered in which to enter. And then, of course, he speaks of not only Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And so the gospel, the good news, the calling of man to repentance must and will reach the four corners of the earth. And this is why Jesus says, occupy until I come. What does he say in Luke 17 and verse 21? We've been speaking about the kingdom here. Luke 17 and verse 21, he says, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. So through the new birth, salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he says, now the kingdom is in you. So you also have now a present possession of the kingdom, as well as it being eternal. Because there's no time in God's realm, we now can start to enter the blessings of the kingdom. That's why the Lord gave the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because there's no time in God's realm. And so we now begin, even now this moment, to experience what pertains to the kingdom of God. And that is why we can hold to these promises and receive the promises, because these promises tell us what is established forever in God's kingdom. And so Jesus said here, it is a present possession. And that's why I always keep saying to you, the kingdom of God is set into the church. The doorway into it is in the church. And those who truly repent and turn away from sin enter through that door into the kingdom, because it is a kingdom message we preach. Jesus also then speaks of the last days before he returns. And we note this in verses 22 to 37. We'll actually take it up from verse 20 of Luke 17. Notice it's all in the context of Jesus, what he's preaching, parables, what he's giving here, the coming of the kingdom. Let's take it up in verse 20. And he says, "Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" So he's actually saying, at this present time, you are not going to see it as yet, but it will be your experience. Because Israel, the world, rejected the kingdom of God, so it's at present going to be a revelation, and from that revelation, an experience to the believers of the kingdom. So you should start to experience the things that pertain to the kingdom. That is, of course, eternal life, blessing, provision, wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. These are the blessings that we now, even in this life, start to begin to experience that the world doesn't. And that's why I said, as the world is moving more and more into judgment, we are standing apart from that, because we are already spiritually by faith in the kingdom. And that kingdom is established and can never be removed. That's why you stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ. It goes on and he says then, in verse 22, "Then he said to the disciples, 'The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them.'" And I believe that's what we are seeing. That is our experience. They're saying, "This is the Lord. This is the revival. These are the healings of God. This, you know, Toronto blessing." And they'll all follow after it. Have we not seen that over the last 20 years? Of course we have. "For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his glory." As quick as that. "But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage till the days that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." That's what's happening now. All that's precisely happening through the falling away. "Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that the Lord went out of Sodom, it rained fire, brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." So you see, the world, what man is building, is going to be destroyed. And God is firstly weaning you and I away from it. Our dependence on it. Our feeding from it. Our still wanting to feel good from it. Or get a quick fix from it. He's delivering us from it. "Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and in his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife." So in other words, what he's talking about, those who've been infilled with the Spirit, sealed with the Spirit, don't depend on any of those things. Whatever blessings you have, your house, your family, your marriage, your car, your job, your food on the table, the clothes that you wear, don't put any dependence on any of those things. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women be grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field. One taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord?" So he said to them, "Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together." And there it will be. Occupy till I come. Keep with it. Don't slacken up. Let the Holy Spirit just do that work. He knows what he's doing. He makes no mistake. And he's taking us down avenues and paths that seem so contrary, so alien. Just, you can't get your mind into it. Because God is in control. They are the trials and the tests of our faith. It seems so much at times, doesn't it? You put your trust in the Lord, you wait on him, you seek all the conditions and everything, you take that step of faith, and you think, what? No, it's gone wrong. So the whole thing's completely gone pear-shaped. And I've done everything I know to do. That's exactly what God's in control. If you weren't in faith, then maybe God wouldn't allow that to happen. So the very fact that you thought you met the conditions, you've done everything you know to do, and you step out in faith, and the whole thing goes pear-shaped, simply proves to me you are actually in faith. That is actually a clear sign you are in faith. If something doesn't go pear-shaped, then something's going wrong. But don't let the devil get in and say, look, you did everything you did. You saw God in prayer. You waited on him. You confessed the promises. You're walking right before God and so on. Why has this happened? Well, of course it's happened because you're walking by faith. That's why. That is the reason. God wants you to question. The devil wants you to question. He wants you to see, God isn't so loving as you thought. He's that hard taskmaster. You've really played your part, haven't you? The devil says. You really sacrificed, you really sought God, you thought you were in faith, you met all the conditions, and the moment you stepped out in faith, fell flat on your face. Of course you do, because that's the walk of faith. It appears as though you fall flat on your face because you're walking against the spirit of this age. And the very fact you've fallen flat on your face means that the devil's trying to trip you up, because that is a clear sign you are walking by faith. And we've got to stop believing the devil's lies. Don't question it. If you love the Lord, he's with you. You're walking by faith, then you step out on those promises that you know. And yes, it's going to be bumpy. Yes, it's going to look negative. Yes, it's going to get worse. Because they are the clear signs you are walking by faith. If that doesn't happen, then you aren't walking by faith. And yet we still believe the devil's lie. Hallelujah. And so Jesus says it all here. We're going to live now in the days of like Noah and the days of Lot. And some are going to go back just like Lot and turn into those pillars of salt where they've lost their salt. They're no longer savory. They've given up their rewards, their talents. They become tasteless, inoperative. These are all the things that we're going to see and are seeing, because Jesus said this. But carry on, occupy, work until I come. And that's what he was encouraging Noah to do. For 120 years he had to build that ark, looking absolutely ridiculous. Everything against him. But he occupied and he worked on that ark. And that is what God is doing with us. He says, I've given you an ark, work on it, build on it, because that's what's going to deliver you from the judgments that are coming upon the earth. That's where we occupy our time. We're building. This church is building this spiritual ark. Don't take your eyes off it, but carry on building. Because this building, this spiritual ark, is those 10 talents. That is the reward. That's what it is. So in nature, all of this is being faithful. It's being faithful to what God has given to us. And we don't have to apologize because others are doing this, and other ministries seem to have thousands and thousands following them, and they're filling their churches up week after week with hundreds and hundreds, and they've got this empire where money comes in and they're able to do this and that and everything. I know the temptation. I know the feeling of failure. Wow, how the devil's had a go at me at that one over the years. How people have said to me, with what God has put on you, why do you bother with just a handful of people in a back room? What is it you're not hearing from God? There must be sin in your life, and so on. You see, you don't go through a thing like that. But I do. No, it's occupying till I come. You see, what these people tell me, what they say to me, is of the flesh. You have to see it by the Spirit, because it's revelation. And that's the point. The sons of God see this ark. The sons of God have a revelation to occupy until he comes. They're walking this walk out in fear and trembling. They're being purged, cleansed, purified as the sons of Levi. You see, this occupying till he comes is actually cleansing us. It's delivering us. It's God working his will in us, which he does through the cross, that we too are to take up and follow. And so this being faithful means that we stick with prayer, as God has shown us, because he says, my house is a house of prayer. Intercession. Fellowship. It's also working with our hands. That means that we are to earn a living. And God blesses us as we use our hands. This is all still occupying until he comes. Then we're called also to live peaceably as much as we can. To be those witnesses as the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us. In ministry, your ministry, as some are waiting on your ministry, some that are manifestly in ministry. Also remaining, occupying with the gifts, the natural gifts and the supernatural gifts that God has given. All of this is occupying till he comes. Doesn't matter what they're saying. Doesn't matter what you look like. Well, of course, you will never. They'll always laugh and see this as pathetic, simply because we're God's peculiar treasure. That's why it's peculiar to the world. They can't understand it. They can't understand a handful can stay with this mad idea of the deeper life, walking the way of the cross. Many, sadly, believers jeer and mock at this sort of thing. They do. They won't outwardly do it, but behind your back they are. And sadly, that's the powers of darkness that works through them. And the tragedy is that whatever talents they have, unless they get their act together, they're even going to lose that. That's why Jesus said, many will prophesy in my name, many will do miracles in my name, but I didn't know them. Many, he says, many walk that way. That is why I keep saying there's more hope and chance for those out in the highways and the byways to enter the kingdom of heaven than many who are in professing Christendom. That is the tragedy of what we are facing and seeing today. So there we are, brothers and sisters. I trust that we've been blessed by this, that hopefully this maybe has answered some things. It has clarified. It speaks to our experience, what we're going through, yes, what we feel at times, how our walk seems to be or appears to be such a failure. I outwardly feel a complete failure. I feel I'm no use whatsoever to the kingdom of God and what God expects and requires. Well, all God has ever asked of you and I is to stay with it and to be faithful, because the Holy Spirit has come to emulate and work all of that, so that through your weakness you and I are made strong. That is the reason that he's come. And I remind you again in Acts chapter 1, 6 and 8, that is what Jesus said to the disciples. Jesus knew what he was saying there to them. He knew that he was going away and that he was going to tarry, and that his return was in the Father's timing. And so through that tarrying, you occupy until I come. And he shows what it is, because the church is a light to the world. And that light must penetrate the four corners of the earth, which it's doing. Hallelujah. How the enemy tries to put out that light. How many times the enemy tries to attack this message going from here out to the four corners of the earth. How he tries to attack it. But he will not succeed. And these attacks are simply telling us that God has blessed us with the word. Hallelujah. God is on the throne. Occupy until I come. Father, again this morning, we thank you, Lord, that we do need to hear this. That, Father, we are living in very real times now. We're seeing everything being shaken. We're realizing that there is nothing we can put our confidence in, our trust in. Lord, you're showing us that it will let us down. It will betray us. Please help us, Father. Please help us in our weakness. Give us the strength, Lord, to say no, to resist, to turn away, and to put the kingdom first in everything. We are ineffectual without the Holy Spirit. That is why the baptism is so essential. But you've come to empower us. You said in your word over and over again, we sing it, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And Lord, just cause us to look away more and more. Help us to set our heart and affection on the kingdom of God, not on self and our wants and our lusts and desires that the world is so held by. Father, we know that our walk of faith always looks contrary, looks negative, and how the devil tries to get us to question it, and how he tries to get us to say, look, he's not faithful, these promises don't really work today. But you have allowed that in order to turn that together for good. So Lord, as we are attacked by this, let us just stop and think, no, This is a good sign. This is telling me I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Because it's tarrying, it's delaying, it looks a mess, it looks as though I'm going under, but all of this is telling me that I walk by faith and not by sight, and that I have these promises given to me in my heart. Lord, help us, please, Father, with that. Because the enemy can seem so real, so logical, so right in the natural. But Lord, we walk above that. Faith is above that realm. Faith, as we heard this morning in prophecy, faith is like the eagles that soar high, that fly in the sky, that defy all gravity, that would try and pull it down. So Lord, that is where our rest is. That is where our walk is. We see so differently from what the world sees, because we are kingdom-minded. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. Turning back, I have decided.